In this lovely Psalm 107 that we read together, I can imagine that you would have noticed one particular little verse being repeated. What is it? 1, 2, 3, 4 times? So if there's repetition, then I think that God is emphasizing something. And what is that little verse? Verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, and verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. And I want us to just analyse that little verse this morning. It seems as if I ought to have had slightly different headings, because my headings are all PMs. We ain't quite got to the PM yet. But I want us to notice, I'll tell you where we're heading, the passion that's mooted, the people that are mentioned, the praise that is mandatory, the potentate that is magnificent, the personality that's missed, the performance that is maintained. And if you remember that lot, you'll do well. But I think PM and think this little verse. And my dear friends, think about it after we've finished. But let's just look through those little thoughts. First of all, the passion that's mooted. Now, the Authorized Version seems to me the only version that I have seen that starts with the little word, oh. So many of them leave it out. And I think that's such a shame, but then it happens so often with other versions. I could, if we'd got all day, and well, we have got all day really, haven't we? But you know, I think of Isaiah 55. That begins with a little word, ho! And you know, the Authorized is the only version that uses that, that puts that in. And that's a little word, all right, it's an untranslatable Hebrew word, but it's important. What does that mean? As near as we can translate it, it means, hey, you! And God is speaking. And he says, hey, I'm talking to you. But here, I mustn't digress, there are lots more like that I could illustrate. But here, the psalmist starts off, oh! The passion that's mooted. And you know, in our daily lives, I reckon it's probably true that we all use that word from time to time. I used it on the 4th of September, which was my birthday. I know I look very old, and I am, but you know, I came in after I'd actually been playing golf, and I came back home, and there was a huge box in the hall. And on the side was a label, Fortnum and Mason. And my dear son from Australia had organised a hamper from Fortnum and Mason. Talk about, oh, what a surprise. Oh, I can't believe it. But you know, we can often use that little word, oh, as a longing. Oh, if only. Oh, if only. But I must hasten. We can use it as a frustration or an irritation. I wonder how the psalmist used it here. But you know, I believe the psalmist was passionate in his desire not only for himself to praise God, but for others to do so as well. And was it frustration? Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Why aren't they doing that? He seems to say. Why indeed? Are you passionate about praising God? Are you thrilled to bits, rejoicing daily? Like the psalmist in Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You say, well, I don't know about that. Sometimes things go hard, physically, all sorts of reasons to dampen our spirits. Oh, how important it is, the passion that's mooted. But secondly, the people that are mentioned. Oh, that men, now ladies, you aren't excluded. I can say that authoritatively. I was going to say, it would be more accurate to say, oh, that mankind, but then that's not politically acceptable now, is it? So let's put it right. Oh, that humankind would praise the Lord. All things praise thee, Lord Most High, we sometimes sing. Heaven and earth and sea and sky, creatures. I'll never forget, and I probably mentioned it before, one day when I was walking a bit better than I do now, walking down my farm lane, and it was raining, and we were somewhat frustrated on the farm because we wanted to get on and do some work, and we couldn't. And as I walked down the lane, I suddenly heard a sound, and I stopped, and there up in the sky was a little skylark twittering away, and it seemed to me singing God's praises, and there was me moaning and grumbling. I tell you what, I felt about that high. Oh, that mankind, humankind, oh, that men and women would praise the Lord. Nature praises God. The creatures praise God. But actually, the first and foremost people that should praise God surely are in verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Of all people to praise God, surely those of us who know and love the Lord Jesus as our own personal Saviour, those of us who have been redeemed, not with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Well, surely we've got reason more than any others to praise our God. Do we do that every day, day after day, during each day? His praise shall continually be in my mouth. The people that are mentioned. And, well, I had to include this one, the praise that is mandatory. Do you know, it's not an optional extra. I know you're like me, you love the Psalms. You know, Psalm 147, 148, 149, 150, they're all exhortations. And you know, I read Psalm 150 again. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the... And so it goes on. These are not optional extras. This is mandatory, my dear friends. I believe because of what God has done for us, he expects us to acknowledge it. Just as I can remember when our children were small, we had to teach them. When somebody gave them something, what do you say? What do you say? Thank you, the very least you can say. The praise that is mandatory. It's so easy to grumble and complain. And you know, I've often thought about that expression in the Hebrews. Let us offer to God the sacrifice of praise continually, the fruit of our lips. Why? Why does the apostle refer to praise as a sacrifice? Sacrifice surely is something that costs, that is perhaps difficult to give. Isn't that a clue? Sometimes when we really are harassed by the old enemy, perhaps, when we're struggling health-wise, or in any other way. And the last thing we feel like is jumping for joy. That's when praise perhaps becomes more of a sacrifice. Let us offer to God the sacrifice of praise continually. I tell you, as they say from the part of the country where I come from, tell you what, boys, wholly a challenge, isn't it? It is. Praise that is mandatory. But then, to whom is our praise directed? The potentate that is magnificent. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Do you know, whenever I read that, it takes me back to my school days, because in the summer term of every year, we had a special day, a commemoration day, and we all had to line up and march down through the town of Ipswich to St. Mary Latour Church, and we had a commemoration service. And I'll never forget, the headmaster used to lead the prayers, all read, and one of the prayers, let us praise famous men. Let us, and I never ever heard him pray, let us praise the Lord. Isn't that sad? Oh, that men would praise the Lord, the potentate, that is magnificent. You know, as I was thinking about this, I sat in the study and I thought, here am I, one tiny speck on the earth. But let's face it, the earth is just one tiny speck in the Milky Way galaxy. And the Milky Way galaxy is but one tiny speck of the millions of galaxies. And who made it all? And who keeps everything in order? Our God. And yet with all this incredible universe, he sees me and cares about me. And you know, I find that mind-blowing, this great God. And well, I could go on and on and on. Yes, I know some of you say, yeah, well, you do at times, but you know, my thoughts then went on. And I started to follow up, and I mustn't prolong it, but you know, I thought about that little expression, he is able. Now, if you want a little Bible study on your own, you are going to say get your concordance, but of course people don't use concordances now, do they? They use the internet. Well, some people do. But, you know, I started to think, he is able. He's able to save to the uttermost all who come unto God by him. And you know, I've just finished reading or rereading the life story of dear old Willie Mullen, Tramp After God. A man like that who got into bad company, was a drunkard, never came home sober for 2 years, robbed, stole, thoroughly bad lot, as my father would say. Man like that, can he be saved? He's able to save to the uttermost. Absolutely. And he's still doing so. He's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. And you know, I could go on and on and on, couldn't I? There's lots of lovely he's ables in the Word of God. But they all help me to see the wonder of this potentate that is magnificent. But then I've got to slip this one in. The personality that's missed. What does the psalmist say in this little verse? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. Now, I suppose for many, many years, until quite recently, I used to equate the goodness of God with the things that he gave me. But you know, that isn't scripturally true. What I believe the psalmist is saying is that we've got to differentiate between what God does and what he is. And here the psalmist is saying, I want you to concentrate on what God is. He is good, intrinsically good, in and of himself. He's good. Perfect. Well, I actually got my dictionary out and thought, well, you know, what does it say? How does it define good? I don't know about your dictionary. My dictionary says having right qualities, adequate, satisfactory, suitable, expedient, proper, serviceable, profitable, genuine, wholesome, sound, complete, reliable, considerate, having moral excellence, kindly, and so on. It goes on and on and on. Well, he's all of these things and much more beside. We're talking about the essence of God. What does Jesus say to that young lawyer? There is none good save one. That is God. Good in his thoughts. Perfect in his thoughts. Perfect in his motives. Perfect in his actions, perfect in his character. This is the God that we need to see and recognize and worship. And I believe our attitude to him would be perhaps different, other than thinking, yes, well, isn't he good? He gives me this and he gives me that. Yes, the personality that's often missed, and we need to remember that. But then we have, finally, the performance that is maintained. His wonderful works to the children of men. That's where God's giving goes on and on and on. The gift that keeps on giving. You know, one of the most familiar psalms, Psalm 23, the The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, I have to admit that I tend to be somewhat critical of some of the versions of the Bible that are purported to be the scriptures. But there's one, I suppose, paraphrase that I do like that says, "The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I need." And isn't it true? That's all I need. And how does it finish? "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men throughout this life and on and on and on. Don't you just love the way Scripture puts it? "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love him. In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Wonderful works to the children of men, I'll say. Isn't that an understatement of what God has done, what God does, and what he will yet do? Do you see the relevance of this little verse? My dear friends, take it with you. Remember it. Say to yourself every day, "I'm going to be one of those people that regularly, constantly praises God for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men." Well, may the Lord challenge us and encourage us for his name's sake. And so,